Anyway, today we're going to continue our message series on armor all. I thought about not even doing this message today because, you know, I thought, well, I don't know how many will show up, and we put a lot of work into it, a lot of effort. I thought I might do it next week. But we got a good crowd, amen?
Amen.
And so I'm glad we're staying with it. And right now, I imagine Satan's probably messing with a lot of people's minds about the storm, about fear, about worry. And this message today, I think in a crazy way, I think can give us some encouragement and assurance. The deal is, in this series, we're talking about armor all, putting on the full armor of God so that we can fight the devil. We've established two things so far. One is there is a real war going on. There is a spiritual battle that Christians are involved in. Whether you want to realize it or not, there is a spiritual battle. You have to be a Christian very long or to read your Bible very long to start to realize, uh-oh, there's a battle. And there's an enemy. His name is the devil. And there are demons and there are forces like that. Again, you don't believe in that devil stuff, what Jesus did, why wouldn't I? He fought him. He talked about him. Talked about demons. Paul did. The Bible's full of that. You know? Hey, praise God. Talks about angels too. Amen? And talks about that forces of good, not just evil. But things happen like that. So we want to talk about putting on the full armor of God. We selected the passage over in Ephesians chapter 6, which is the classic passage on fighting the devil. How many want to fight the devil or just be losers? You want to fight him? Say, I want to fight him. I want to win. I want to be victorious in my life. He wants to come against me, against my family, against this church, against your life. We don't, you know, I want to be victorious, and we can have the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. But we can't sit back and do nothing. We got to be proactive. Being passive ain't going to cut it in this battle. And we've discussed things like that. Let's move now with the message. Today we're going to talk about, and Roger, we're going to put her in gear, buddy. Okay? If this message goes slow, Roger did it. No. The shoes, if you could get me to shut up, it would move, wouldn't it? The shoes, the shield, and the helmet. We've talked about the belt of truth. We've talked about the breastplate of righteousness. Now we're talking about today, going to do three of them. Each one of these could take 3 weeks to talk about. But I didn't want the series to last forever. The shoes, the shield, and the helmet. Let's move. See what the Bible says. Can you imagine a soldier all dressed up for battle with no shoes on? Oh, it's just nuts. I mean, boots are really important in our armed forces. But it's a little bit different in those days. But shoes are very important. One thing you can count on is when your feet are hurt, you're in bad shape, aren't you? My feet were hurting yesterday. I mean, they were killing me. My left foot. Can't imagine going to battle like that. Or going to battle barefooted where you got cuts on your feet and you're hurting and you're trying to fight. It would be impossible. So today we're going to talk about the shoes. We're going to talk about the shield. We're going to talk about the helmet of salvation. And we're going to see it right from the Bible. There are not too many barefooted soldiers. Check it out. Maybe in the brush country down some crazy place, I guess. But in most situations, you need some serious shoes on if you're going to be a soldier. Some background information. These are actual Roman sandals that Roger got off the web through, you know, history, antiquity, and stuff like that. Roman soldiers wore specially designed sandals. They had a thick base made of wood and leather. Let's keep moving. They often had short spikes like cleats. Look at them. Can you see that? Like cleats. Okay? Keep moving. They gave extra traction on inclines and on slippery surfaces. Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, said, and we're going to see it in just a minute, put on the shoes, the gospel of peace. And it's interesting that he would use that kind of terminology, and he was talking about these kind of shoes. That was the world with which he lived. Let's keep moving. They help provide a firm foundation. You can imagine those kind of shoes with those kind of little spikes on the bottom. That would really help them have a firm foundation. Don't you want a firm foundation in your life? You don't always be shifting your whole life. Always floating and wandering and not grounded. God has something better for you than that. They lasted. They provided a firm grip, these shoes, on the Roman soldiers. They could stand well in battle. Don't you want to stand well in battle? Say, amen. I don't be a sitting duck. I want to stand well. I want to make it. Ephesians 6:15. So we go back to our passage this morning. In Ephesians 6, it says, put on the whole armor of God. If you know it, say it with me. That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Okay? So we saw the belt of truth. We saw the breastplate of righteousness. Now it says this. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Very good word for feet there is the idea of your shoes or your sandals. your sandals, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel, gospel of peace. We need that on our feet. Hey, buddy, how you doing? Good, man. Amen. That's what we need on us. There you go. Now, we've already talked about putting on a belt of truth, which is Jesus Christ. We talked about that. Truth with God. Truth with yourself. Being honest and sincere about your relationship with Christ. You're never going to fight the devil if you're a phony. Oh, I got Jesus helping me. But if you're not a Christian, or you're not the real deal, but you got Jesus, you don't have anything. Does that make sense? Be in truth with yourself. Don't worry about impressing people or doing it. Who cares? Have a right relationship with God. That's that truth. The breastplate of righteousness, which is a right relationship with God. As hard as you try, your righteousness and my righteousness is still filthy rags. Do you understand that? On our best day, we still are sinners that fall short of the glory of God. Does that make sense to you? We've got to have His righteousness. We've got to be right with God. And His righteousness is believing in Jesus Christ, putting your faith and trust in Him. That's how we're made Christians, how we're made clean. So, having said all that, got the truth, the belt, we got the breastplate. Now let's look at the shoes. Back it up. The shoes of the gospel of peace. That is the personal realization. It's more than this, but this is the bottom line. The personal realization that you've been saved. That you've been declared righteous through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Do you know that in your life? I mean, Wilma's coming, huh? But isn't it something that us Christians... Now, we're not called to be nuts and be out surfing this afternoon or something nuts, you know? But maybe this afternoon would be okay. Don't do it tomorrow or Tuesday. But the fact is... Isn't it great to know that you have peace with God? Say, isn't that something? That's something I can't give you. Only He can give you that peace. And it comes through a personal relationship that you're saved. You know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You know, that's an amazing thing. Do you have that underneath you? Say, is that underneath you? That, hey, all hell comes against me. Hallelujah. I'm His. I belong to Him. I'm believing in Him. I'm trusting in Him. You know, come on, devil. Here we go. I'm in Jesus Christ. Do you have those shoes of peace on? You believe in Him. Let's take it a little further. Satan attacks our minds. And that's where the battle is. It's in our own thoughts and attitudes. Satan wants to attack this peace that you have. Some of you probably know what I'm talking about. He comes at you. He attacks you. You don't know Jesus. My stepdad, who killed my mother, shot her 6 times. He told my mother, he'd say, God doesn't love you. You're a hypocrite. It didn't just come from the devil. It came from a voice in her home. He told my mother, when you're dead, your kids are going to walk by and just and see you in the casket and laugh at you. He messes with our minds. He wants you to not think that God loves you, that you're not a Christian. It's vital that you have the peace of God if you're going to fight in this battle. Did you hear me? If you're always unrest, you know, always things crazy in your life, no peace at all. And I know people like that. As a minister, I work with people like that. And some of you are in this room. It's the truth. You know, no matter how many times you see me or you see somebody, it's going to come down to the fact, do you know Jesus Christ? Have you got that now? He loves you. You're going to have to settle it and anchor it there and have this peace with God. He is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us, Ephesians 2:14. Let's keep moving. He's our peace. The personal peace with God gives us a firm foundation. The sandals with the cleats. Are you hearing me? That peace of God gives you that gripping power to help us stand up when we're in the battle. Keep moving. Here's what the Bible says in the last days will happen. Luke 21:26. Men's heart failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. We live in an age today of fear. People are scared to death. Scared of all kinds of things. Satan wants you to do that. That's what's going to happen in the last days. People are going to be full of fear. Christians can have peace. Amen? You know, and we can. And it's an amazing thing. It's a Holy Spirit thing that God does in our life. When you have a firm grip through Jesus Christ, you can shine. You'll stick out also. Did you know that? I mean, it's something. People call themselves Christians, and you probably are, but have a horrible witness. You need to trust Jesus. You get saved. And they look at this life. No peace. You're telling Nanny what you got? Your life's a wreck. You have no peace. You're always up and down. You know, see, when we have the peace of God in our life, when we in our own lives can have a firm grip when Satan's coming against us, that is a huge testimony. You hear me? Huge testimony. It's more than words. Peace is very important. 2 Corinthians 4, we're not going to read all this, but if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine on them. Let's move on. Let's see what happens. Keep moving. Next verse. Here's what Paul says. Look, we're troubled on every side, yet not what? Distressed. Isn't that great when you've got trouble, but you're not distressed? That comes from that peace with God. We're perplexed, but not what? In what? Despair. We're persecuted, but hallelujah, I'm not alone. Do you hear me? Is that making sense to you? Is the cleats getting into the earth right there? You hear me? If you're looking for a life...
Hey, no dancing in the hallway.
Okay. That's interrupting the sermon. Here we go. Listen to me. Listen. We've never been promised that we would not be distressed, that we would not be perplexed, that we'd not be persecuted. Matter of fact, the Word of God says we're going to be all those things. But we can have peace through that, and it's going to be a tremendous testimony to people around us. It beats a track any day. I'm all for giving out tracks. But a life that has been battered and worn and torn and still standing, and it's still got maybe just one tooth showing you, grinning. Hey, that's a powerful testimony for Jesus Christ. Okay, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, that also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. The peace of God. A little longer on the shoes. On the next two, we're going to move. When you don't have the personal peace of God, you'll be barefoot in battle. That's what you are. Think about the battlefield. It's not a lily white, little green, little ditty field. It's got rugged rocks and tears and glass. It's a mess. And when you don't have the peace of God, you're barefoot. And Satan knows it. He's going to cut you. He's going to get you slowed way down. You need to have the shoes of peace on. Keep moving. Walk the walk, don't just talk the talk. Can you say that with me? Walk the walk, don't just talk the talk. You know, people can talk all day long, but how your shoes doing? Say, how your shoes doing? Big mouth, that's great, but how are those shoes doing? You holding? You firm? It's good for us today. Why wear the shoes of peace, preacher man? When we don't, look at this. Just real fast, we're ungrateful. When you don't have the peace of God, here's what you do. You start thinking about your life, what you need to eat, what you need to drink, what you need to put on, what this is going to happen, and this is going to happen. So you become an ungrateful person when you don't have the peace of God in your life. The second thing, Jesus said it, you become unproductive when you don't have the shoes of peace on. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? Some people worry about everything and never get anything done. Oh, but what about this and what? You're unproductive when you don't have peace. How many of you, don't raise your hand, but you've had days, months, years taken away from your life because you stressed out, you worried yourself sick, and didn't get anything done in your life. And you look back over your life, man, I lost 5 years of doing nothing because I was worrying myself sick. Do you hear me? Satan just wants to knock you out, that's all. He'll do whatever he can do, from peace to anything, to get you to not be effective. Keep moving. The last thing is this, unprepared. Without the shoes on, you'll be unprepared. You'll be unprepared for the blessings of God, for the things that God has in your life. We need to seek first the kingdom of God, not the things of this world. You know, if you seek the things of God, He said, I'll take care of the things of this world for you. Okay? And I'll be good to you. So those are just three ideas of what happens when you don't wear the shoes. Do you have on the shoes of the gospel peace? Only God can give them to you. Nothing I can do. Fellowship Church just can't put them shoes on you. Amen? We can love you. We can share the truth with you. But at the end of the day, you're going to need to embrace truth. You need to step in your own life. And realize that this agitation that you have constantly going on and frustration, you can find peace with God. He can handle that. He can make something out of your life. Grand and mighty. Believe in Jesus Christ. See, a lot of people, y'all don't believe in that Jesus stuff, do you? Why is it just one way? I want the way with peace. You hear me? I want the way that gets me to heaven. It gives me strength and power in my life. That's Jesus Christ. Choose whatever religion you want. I'm going to bank it on the Bible, on Jesus Christ. And we can fight the devil. 1 Corinthians 15. 1 through 4. Remember, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you've received, wherein you stand. by which also you're saved. See those old standing? You stand, you're saved, if you keep in memory what I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that also which I received, how Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. But that's the shoes right there. And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. You need to know those verses right there. And when Satan comes knocking on your door, you need to just quote that to him. So let me tell you something. I know he died. He was buried on the third day, he rose again according to the Scriptures. Slap him upside the head with that kind of stuff. The Bible. Jesus used the Bible when he called him. Amen? Rest in Jesus. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. The peace of God. Because you trust in me. In that great storms are coming. Trouble comes. How can I be firm? How can I have the cleats, baby? Peace with God. It's a beautiful thing. Great peace have they which love thy law, the Word of God. If you don't have time for the Word, you're probably not going to have time for peace either in your life. You need to spend time in that book. That's how you get the peace of God. And nothing shall offend them. If you're solid, nothing's going to knock you over. If you're in that book, you have the peace of God. You can stand. Walk in Jesus. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. We're to walk in the Spirit. And that gives us peace. That was a long deal. The shoes, man! Like I said, Mike, this could have been a whole deal. Let's do a quick run through real fast of the... I don't think anybody's hotter than I am. That didn't work. Here we go. Let's look at the shield of faith. The shield of faith. So we need the shoes on, right? Right? I need the peace of God. It's nothing pitiful, man. These things have traction. They got cleats on them. Amen? I'm standing. I'm firm. I can make it. The shield of faith. What's that talking about? Ephesians 6:16 says, above all, can you say that? Above all. One more time. Above all. Take the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. You'll be able to quench those fiery darts. What is that talking about? Here's what 1 Peter says. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try some of you as though some strange thing has happened to you. Don't think it's strange. These darts are coming at you. This isn't a strange thing. That's going to be your life. That's what's going to happen to you. When trouble comes, well, where could God love me? Trouble's coming. God loves you. Satan doesn't. He hates your guts. Trouble's coming. Does that make sense? Say, I don't want the devil to love me. If it means him loving me, send the darts. I'll take those instead. He hates my Savior. He hates my God. Why should I want him to love me? I don't want that. So since I'm not going to get that, I'm going to get darts. Satan wants this in your life. He wants you to doubt that God really loves you. This is a major attack of Satan in our life. He wants us to doubt God really loves us. Can you say that line with me? He is all about doubt. One more time. He is all about doubt. One more time. Come on. He is all about doubt. Satan is going to shoot those darts at you. How many have been there? Say, doubt. Doubt that God loves me. Doubt that my husband loves me. My wife loves me. I mean, whatever. Doubt that the Word's true. This is true. It's true. Doubt the fellowship church is a church that loves the Lord. Whatever. You know? Whatever it is. He just wants you to doubt. He's all about doubt. That's where that shield of faith comes in, baby. Right there. Let's talk about it. We're able to withstand his attacks by taking the shield of faith. If you want to fight doubt in your life, take the shield of faith. Let's see what it is. That's putting on Jesus Christ in your life. Put on that shield of Jesus Christ. And let's look at that and define that a little bit more this morning. A great verse to memorize. We quote it often here. It's one of my favorites. It was my wife's dad's favorite life verse. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Living in Christ. That's that shield of faith. Believing in him. Realizing that you're covered in the righteousness of Christ. Hold that shield high. Let's keep moving. Our faith in Jesus is our shield. Can you say that? Our faith in Jesus is our shield. That's why when you put your faith in the church, bing, he's going to knock you out. When you put your faith in anything you do, any creed, well, I did this when I was a kid. So what? Do you have the shield? The shield is Jesus Christ, faith in him. That's what quenches those darts. Let's look at some things about these darts. It says, above all, take the shield of faith. Above all. You know what? When I read the Bible and it says, above all, that's pretty important, wouldn't you say? Mm-hmm. If my wife tells me to do something, go to the store or something, and above all now, you know, get this. What are you going to do? I'll probably forget everything else, but I'm going to get that. That's what's happening here. Above all, if you don't have the shield of faith, you're shot. It's a primary importance, that shield of faith in Jesus Christ. Boy, you might think of me sometimes. Clark talks a lot about Jesus, talks a lot about putting faith in Jesus. Look, that's it. Are you understanding me? Say. Amen. Well, why don't we do this? And why don't we get off on this rabbit trail? And why don't we have this? I need this. Maybe it's just because I'm getting shot at so much. That's why I talk about it. So I need that. Without it, you're not fully protected. Without the shield of faith in Jesus Christ. Hebrews 11:6, we quote this often. This happens to be my wife's favorite verse. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is. And he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. That's the shield. God loves people who believe in him. He stands with people who believe in him. Don't you want that say? People think I'm a nut if I believe too much in you. Hey, that's fine with me, Dave. I want the shield of faith. Let's go to history again. During Roman times, archers would soak the tips of their arrows in poison. Why? So if the initial puncture wound didn't kill you, the poison would. That's why Satan, he just loves to sow doubt into your life. Little poison. Oh, it might not kill you right away. So he shoots you again. He shoots you again. He shoots you again. He shoots you again. And that poison of doubt will destroy your Christian life. You've got to have faith in Jesus Christ, or you're just not going to make it in the Christian world. And you're still going to make it in this battle against Satan. Here's what also they would do. They would also wrap their arrowheads in cloth. They would soak them in pitch like tar. They would then light them and set them on fire. You've seen it in the movies and stuff like that. They would shoot them into the enemy's camp. And what would happen when the arrow shot? The flaming arrows would then splatter that burning pitch wherever it landed, setting things on fire. That's Satan. He wants to do that in your life. Many shields, though, were made of wood. During those days, that's a problem. Because what? Wood burns. And I'm telling you, on your own, without the shield of faith, you're going to burn. I'm not talking about going to burn in hell. I'm talking about burning this life. You're never going to be prosperous and victorious in your life like God can have for you. They would often cover their shields, though, with animal skin. They take these wooden shields, cover them with animal skin, and they would soak them in water. Why? Because of that old hurricane. Fire hit the water. It would quench the arrows. Isn't that what the Bible just said? Take the shield of faith that you can do what? Quench the fiery arrows of the what? Of the devil, of the wicked one. That's that shield of faith. Man, I don't want to get burned, do you? I want that thing. Isn't it interesting? They soaked it in the water and that's what he used. Keep moving. The words are water. The words are water. The Bible is called water. Let's look at the scripture. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Watch it. That he might sanctify and cleanse it. If you can read it, help me. With the washing of water by the word. The word of God to the Christian. That's what we drink. We need that more than we need some high that we get from some event. Are you hearing me? I mean, I love church. I love coming, having a good time. But listen, if we're not going to have the Word, let's just go have a party somewhere else. We need the Word. We need to, like Gideon, laughing, drinking that water. You know, we need that in our life. That is what gives us that shield and puts that water on it for us and quenches those fiery darts. We need the Word of God in us. Fire burns and leaves scars. Satan knows that. He knows if he can sow doubt into your life, get you to doubt. If he can cause, you know, these events to happen in your life and you don't have that shield, you're going to get burned. You're going to get scarred. And some of you, you're hurting today because of some events in your life. And he hates you, hates me. Satan knows that. He wants to distress you. He wants to depress you. He wants you to doubt God. He wants you to be disappointed in God. How many have ever been there? Say, let's see a hand. Satan's done that for you. Depression, doubt, all these things. That's what Satan wants out of you. And the way we quench that is with the shield of faith. It's funny. I wrote this message a week ago. I didn't even know about a hurricane. This says, are you hurricane ready? I didn't know it. I was in Gatlinburg eating a meal with a pastor there. And he said, have you seen the weather lately? This was on Tuesday of this past week. I said, uh-uh. He said, well, I hate to tell you, this storm coming right at you. Right at you, man. So I wrote this before. Are you hurricane ready? Say, you got all your stuff ready? You got your ducks in a row? You know, that's great, but let me ask you this question. How about, are you devil ready? I mean, we get all kinds of ready for hurricanes, but how about the belt? How about the breastplate? How about the shoes? How about the shield? I mean, it's funny. We'll get ready for everything that comes against us, but we're not ready to fight the devil. Are you ready? Need to get ready. He's coming at you, tooth and nail. Come on. How do you get it? How do you get that? How do you get that faith? Faith comes, say it with me, would you? This is a familiar verse. You need to understand this verse. Here we go. So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the
word of God.
One more time. I want faith, man. How do I get it? Lazy as the day is long. You never pick up the Bible. I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm just trying to be honest. You ain't going to get it. You need to have a Bible. You need to read the Bible. I don't understand the Bible. Fine. Don't have a shield. That's an excuse. If somebody from Rockingham, North Carolina can understand the Bible, you can understand the Bible. I didn't grow up in a Christian. I knew nothing about the Bible. Still don't know a whole lot. But I'm knowing enough to get me some darts. You know what I'm saying? Come on. Get in the book. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. That's what I love about our sermons that we can do here. We can put it on the screen. You can see it with your eyes if you're not sitting right here. You can hear it in your ears. It's all about that. It's all about getting that word. It is. It's crazy. It's good stuff. Believe God, period. Believe in Him. Let's keep moving. Don't put your faith in any man or woman, period. Put your faith in Jesus Christ. Okay? Don't ever put your faith in a man. Don't put your faith in me. I fail. I make mistakes. I mess up. I can lead you down the wrong path. Put your faith in me. Put your faith in Jesus Christ, in the Word. You must take up the shield. Keep moving. You must regularly read and believe the Word of God if you're going to have the shield. I know this might be redundant to some of you, but maybe we got a few of you that's really hanging and listening. This is just for you today. You need this. You don't grow, listen to this, by what you know. Well, I know that. You don't grow by that. You don't grow by what you know. You grow by exercising what you know. I met a man, but I've known this man for years. He came up to me last Sunday morning at my home church in Rockingham, North Carolina. He knows more about the Bible probably than any man I've ever met. He's got degrees so long his name could be thermometer. Okay? He knows it all about the Bible. He can make you and I look stupid. But his life is a miserable wreck. He didn't love his wife. He didn't love his children. He was a miserable father. He's a father of a dear friend of mine. And quite frankly, I can't stand this man. I got problems with this guy. I don't care what you know. It's not what you know. And I think some of you in this room today, I know that. You're not going to fight Satan with that kind of attitude. It's that I'm going to exercise what I know. I don't care how old I am. I'm going to exercise what I know. But let me tell you what happened to this man. About a year ago, he got cancer. Terrible cancer. And God, through that cancer, God's a gracious God. He's patient. Amen. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad He's patient? He started working on this man's heart. And it looked like he was going to make it. And then when he finally made it, his wife, who had mistreated, she's so sweet. Reminds me of my mother. And she and my mother were good friends. He mistreated his lady for years. But guess what? After he got over the cancer, his wife had a stroke. A horrible stroke. She can't even speak or talk. And she was a major nurse in the area and so eloquent. Guess what? Her husband, he's all about speech. That's been his whole thing in life. Talking and speech. You know what? God has worked on this man. He came to me Sunday just crying, tears running down his face. He hugged my neck. He gave me a check for Fellowship Church. You know? And he said, God's been working on my life. You know, here's a man that knows everything. I couldn't believe it. He hugged me. He said, I love you. I love you, Gary. He said, thank you for praying for me. Thank you for praying. And I said a little bit ago, I can't stand this man, right? But I love his son. We've been praying for him, and God's been doing the work. Why? Because he knew it all, but he wasn't exercising. Are you understanding? Say. Some of this, excuse me, crap that comes our way. Oh, let me tell you something. It can cause you to exercise. Yeah? And you can be a different person today by taking the shield of faith.
Let's keep moving. A lot of you definitely know what I'm talking about. What God says, look, this is what I'm talking about right here. What God says to do, say it with me.
Do.
And then watch this. Then do some more. And do some more. And do some more. And do some more. And keep doing more. That's what you do. That's how you...
It's funny. If you fought one soldier, and the arrows were coming, you went, got deal. And you threw your shield down, there's like 500 other ones. You'd be dead in a hammer, right? There's not just one error, too. You just got to keep on doing it. Amen? It's not about what I know, what I've learned. Put it into action. Take the shield of faith. The last thing is this. We normally later now, and I'm almost done. The helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation. And take the helmet of salvation. So we've looked at what now? The shoes of the gospel of peace. We've looked at the shield of what? Faith. And now we're looking at the helmet of salvation. What is that talking about? Protect your head. Say it. Come on. You can have the shield all day. But if that head, you've got to have something on your head and you've got to have something in your head. All right? And that's a problem for some of us. So that's what we're talking about here. Let's look at it. Our spiritual battles are fought more in our minds than any other area. Most of the things we think of never really happen, these things we worry about. A golf guy helped me years ago, and I've told you this before, that when there's a tree there, it's 80% air. So you know what I do now when I play golf? Get right up there, hit that ball right at that tree. I got 80% chance I'm going through that sucker. You hear me say? 80% air! A lot of times I try to miss it or something like that. Man, I foul it. Just go at it. Just try it. Most of the things we think of in our minds, Satan attacks our minds. Listen, we need to have our minds fixed with that helmet of salvation. A, obviously you need to be a Christian. You need to be saved. You need to know that Jesus is your Savior. That peace, amen? Growing in Him, that shield of faith. But this is talking about something deeper than that, I believe. Let's see what it is. Philippians 2, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. God wants us to have the mind of Jesus Christ, who being in the form of God. He didn't think it was robbery to be equal with God. But watch this. He made himself of no reputation. He took upon him the form of a what? A servant. He was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he did what? He humbled himself. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That's where we struggle. Servanthood, humility, humbling ourselves. That is the mind of Christ. Let's keep looking. The helmet of salvation is more than simply knowing that we're Christians. Keep moving. It means literally equipping ourselves with the wisdom of God. So we've got peace with God through the shoes. We've got faith in God through the shield. And we've got wisdom from God with the helmet. God wants to teach us something. He wants us to think differently and to know that there's more to this Christian life than just going to church. He wants to transform our minds in the way that we think. Look at 1 Corinthians. But unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Verse 30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Keep moving, Raj. We are to take into ourselves God's wisdom. Does that make sense to you? A lot of things that I think now I didn't think when I was growing up. A lot of things I think now I didn't think before I became a Christian. God's changed my mind. I used to think, growing up, women were just for sex. That's all I ever saw. That's what I thought. I didn't know you were supposed to love a woman, be committed to a woman, come hell or high water, amen? Stick together, love each other, care for each other. I know how to treat a woman. God's changed my thinking, amen?
Amen.
Changed me. That's just one. I used to think I came from some mess, probably. Didn't. God created me. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Where did I learn that? Didn't learn it from school, did I? Huh? God's Word. He wants us to have wisdom. Is that, you hearing me? The wisdom of God. Let's keep moving. It's the power of God in our life. The wisdom of God is the power of God in our life. See, basically what you and I think really doesn't matter. Oh, well, what's God think? Change our life, what He thinks, and we learn it and do it. 1 Corinthians 3:3, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. Paul was speaking and preaching. Paul said, I was weak, I was with you in fear. And he wrote, what, 13 books in the New Testament? Did it under authority and wisdom of God. It comes from reading the Word of God. Where do you get the wisdom of God? Aren't we coming, are we hearing the same old song All this seems to come back to the Bible, doesn't it?
But I can't read the Bible. I don't understand the Bible. You are dead, man.
You're telling us your history.
You got to get in the book. I can't have the wisdom of God. I can't have the faith without the book.
Look at this, 2 Timothy 3:15. And that from a child that has known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise in salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. That's how we get wise. That's how we get strong. We must pray to God to receive this wisdom. Look at James. If any man lack wisdom, what's the Bible say? Let him what? Ask of God, who gives to all men liberally. That means he's got a lot of it. He's happy to give it to you. He upbraids not. It'll be given unto him. Something else. Why wisdom? It's our defense when we're attacked from without. Look at this verse. Matthew. And you shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought of how or what you shall speak, for it'll be given unto you in that same hour what you shall speak. For it's not that you speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaks in you. Have you ever had that happen, say? When you just want to say one thing, and you're ready to just tell it all. But you know the Lord took over, amen? And you said things that He wanted you to say. Beautiful, the wisdom of God. It's our weapon when we're taken captive from within. The wisdom of God, this helmet. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Satan sets strongholds up in our life. Casting down imaginations. One of the worst things we ever do is imagine. We imagine things that never happen. We imagine horrible things. Every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bring it into captivity, every thought to the obedience of Christ. And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. The wisdom of God is going to help you fight this battle. Psalm 119, Thy Word, say it with me if you know that verse. Thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God, against Thee. Wisdom. I think we're done. One last verse. Boy, we got the Scripture today. Romans 12. Say it with me if you know that one. One. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Look at this part. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The helmet. Do you need it, son? I need the wisdom of God. Lord, help me. Amen. We're done today. Put on the shoes. What is that? Say it with me. Peace with God. You got that? You have that? I mean, Pastor, I might be messed up in a couple areas, but I'm firm in my faith in Jesus Christ. I believe in Him. Have you got it? It's sticking. Next. Put on the shield of faith in God. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing God's Word. And then finally, take the helmet. Wisdom from God. My head don't have what it needs. Amen. I need God's wisdom up here. I need to affect my life. You do too. Thank you so much for listening this morning. Let's pray together. I'm sweating like a pig. Oh, mercy. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for this message. Lord, I know there's some good stuff here. And we're tilling some good ground today. And Father, I thank you for these folks today. I just felt like they wanted to hear. They wanted to learn. They wanted to grow today. Father, I pray that you'll take this word that's been preached and you'll just use it in my life, Lord. I need it. And I pray you'll use it in other people's lives today. And just do something mighty through us meeting here today in this place. Thank you for being good to us, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.